Did you tell G? Well, good evening. Let's try again. Good evening. It's good to see each and every one of you here tonight. As we have decided or realized before, you know, you have people vote for a time, and then it's almost an equal split, with only a few that won. So the 5:30s won. That's just one of those things. I won't say what I voted for. But it's good to have each and every one of you here. I know you are family members, or some of you. A special word of welcome to all of you here in the front. There's old members of our church, previous members of the church here. Welcome to them. There's people out of our neighborhood. Carla, it's good to have you here with us tonight. Some other family members in the back there, and here in the middle. Heidi, your children, so welcome to each and every one of you. It's just really good to come together and celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with this service tonight. Now, you just make sure that each and every one of you have a candle, as we will have the candle lighting just before we sing the last song, Silent Night, at the end and before the blessing. So let us listen to Thomas as he played us the prelude. Thank you. Let us rise to worship the God revealed in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth.
Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day.
Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples.
For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts.
Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him all the earth.
Say among the nations, the Lord reigns.
Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Let us all pray together. Blessed are You, Sovereign God, our life and our salvation. To You be glory and praise forever. To dispel the darkness of our night, You sent forth Your Son, the firstborn over all creation, to be the Christ, the light of the world. Rejoicing in the mystery of the Word made flesh, we acclaim Him, Emmanuel, God with us, as all creation sings to You. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us adore in Christ the Lord. Sing.
For not welcoming you too. It's good to have you here with us. Let's listen to Isaiah chapter 52. We read from verse 7. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen. Your watchmen lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God.
No more may God, born to raise us up.
be seated. And you could turn the Bible open to Hebrews chapter 1 as we listen to our epistle reading. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days He spoke to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. And He is the radiance, that is Christ, of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as He has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He ever say, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me." And when He again brings the firstborn into the world, He says, "And let all the angels of God worship Him." Amen. Go tell it on the mountains. God's word again. You may be seated. And you could turn with me to the gospel reading of John. The only gospel who does not start with gospel writer that does not start with the birth of Christ as such, but explains so much more. We read from verse 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light which Coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained it." Almighty God and our Father in heaven, who are we in and of ourselves to come and worship you? For what you have done for yourself and your own glory, but also for us, your children. Lord, a plan that we cannot wrap our minds and heads and hearts around. Grace upon grace have we received out of your hand. And we bring you our praises tonight, because we were dead in our sins. You came and made us alive. You already in eternity has made this wonderful plan to send your own Son to this world to die. Jesus, who came and changed the complete history of this world. Oh Lord, what would this history be? What would our existence be without him? Without the reality of the Christ who came. God who became man. Who became Emmanuel. But Lord, we praise you tonight that we know the whole gospel. That we know that yes, we celebrate this birth. But we also celebrate it with an eye and a view on the future. Because we know the whole story. The whole story that was told to us. The whole story that brought us unto yourself by your grace. The whole story that brought us on our knees before you to worship you until the end of days. Even though we do it, Lord, with sinfulness and with so many shortcomings. But thus we thank you that in Jesus Christ we are the complete righteousness that you require. That we are that before you. We thank you that he has come and died for our sins. We thank you that he has been raised from the dead. And that through our faith in him we are indeed more than conquerors through him who loves us. Father, as we meditate again this year on Your love for us, we pray that our love for You would increase. That our concept of grace and our understanding of Your love for us would become just deeper and deeper. And Father, as we are gathered here tonight, we pray that this message would go away from this church and from each and everyone in this church, also in the season, but also in the new year, that we will not be ashamed of the gospel, but proclaim Jesus Christ to each and everyone. Oh Lord, we need the truth of Him being our Savior in this world that is so confused. And we pray that You would use us as Your instruments. Father, we pray for those who cannot be here with us tonight. We pray for those who mourn. We pray that You would comfort them, that You would strengthen them. Father, we pray for those who are sick, for those who are alone. Father, we ask that You would continue to provide in their needs. Continue to build up this church that we, and not only our church, but all true churches in this community, Lord, that we would indeed be pillars of the truth in this community, and that Your name be glorified through our lives day by day. Hear us as we pray in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to read for our scripture meditation a few verses from Luke chapter 2. And once again, it's passages that we know, but may God by His grace just bring the newness again and the freshness of the gospel into our hearts tonight as we listen. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So far, the reading of God's Word. Now, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, it is this time of the year, as I said, that we read the history of Jesus' birth and the stories relating to His birth, perhaps more than we do in the rest of the year. And it's good. It's good that we are reminded of what happened when Jesus Christ came into this world. But something that I thought about when even reading through this again in my preparation, I thought, you know, isn't it that sometimes when we read about the circumstances of Jesus, that we almost feel sorry for what happened to him there? That we also catch ourselves feeling sorry for Mary and Joseph and their circumstances. And it's not peculiar. It's not that there's something wrong with us when we feel like, I think through centuries, some felt so embarrassed with these circumstances under which Christ was born that they also romanticized the events and even changed the facts surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ to make it a little bit more acceptable. And one of the groups that do that, for instance, the Roman Catholic Church, that has, in Bethlehem, if you visit the birthplace of Jesus, you won't see a manger in a stall, but a manger made of marble and golden settings that border it. All in an attempt to make it a little bit more acceptable, to romanticize it, if you want. So my question, very simple question tonight is, have you felt pity when you read through this and listened to these events even this evening? I ask because this is the kind of circumstances under which, these circumstances under which Jesus was born is something that could easily fill our Western hearts with pity and with sympathy. Because we read there was no place for them in the inn, so they had to be happy with a dirty stable. The mother had to lay him down in the manger. His cradle was a trough. No newly bought clothes, if you want, or equipment or furniture for a little boy that was born. The images of a cold, windy winter night, winter hills there in Bethlehem, with overcrowded inns and hotels or whatever they call it at that time, really paints a bleak picture to us of that night. But we must remember that this was all part of an enormous plan, a most wonderful plan that God had set forth in eternity already. A plan that was promised centuries ago. In Hebrews we read, in the past God spoke to His people how through His prophets. A plan that was made, that was eventually proclaimed and promised to His people. And the oldest promise of which is the one that was made in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3:15, we already read, after the fall of Adam and Eve, God in His grace looked them up and He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. There's many others. I just remind you of Micah chapter 5. 730 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, Micah had prophesied, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And we read further in 2 Samuel chapter 7, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. That was what the Jews awaited, right? David's successor, and called this Messiah they hoped for. They call him the Son of David. And that's exactly who he was when he was born, the Son of God himself, the Son of David, this promised king that they were waiting for ages. But this plan of God went into fulfillment also as part of the history of this world. It's not that God did something above or loose or separate from the history of our time and of our existence. Whether the world wants to acknowledge it or not. And you probably have spoken to people that say, well, Christ did not really exist. No, He did. And this is just a part of that history that is proclaimed to us. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken. So all the people went where they were supposed to be, each to his own city. And Joseph, because he was out of the house and family of David. Does that surprise you? Went from Nazareth to Bethlehem to be registered. And then the text says, and it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. Nothing in God's eyes, nothing for us as Christians happens by chance. Not only was the 9 months over, but this event that was planned in eternity by the triune God has arrived. You see, and it brings me back to what I just said on Sunday. I hope you will always be amazed by the perfectness of God's plans. How everything was worked out in detail. How in eternity He can make a decision and comes in this time and execute it in perfect and His perfect wisdom. Everything was ready for the Son of God to be born. And that is why Paul wrote later to the Galatians, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. The fullness of whose time? Of God's time. Because God's time is always perfect. Something that you and I don't always understand. How often do we feel that God's timing is off, right? But God's timing is always right and perfect. So we read, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And even that is something that you and I must remember as a miracle far beyond our imagination. The triune God, the only true God who exists, one being, yes, revealed to us in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, came down to this earth and into this world. And while He remains God, He also became 100% man. He became a true human being in all its facets, except for sin. He stepped into the real history of this world and became a historic figure. He was not just a myth or a legend. Even the contemporaries, like Josephus, wrote about Him. Above all, the apostles saw Him. They were the eye and the ear witnesses of Him that was here on earth and ministered to His people. And they and their teaching eventually became the foundations for the church and what you and I believe today. But something else that we also see, and that has to do with my first question, is that this plan of God was also executed in simplicity. Simplicity that some pity. But there's nothing to pity. That is exactly how God wanted it. For Him to come to this earth already was a great humiliation. The King who became a slave just to take upon Himself the human nature. The fact that there was no place for Him was all part of that humiliation, a state that will continue right through His suffering and time here on earth until He was risen from the dead. But these poor circumstances also must remind us of one thing more, and that is our spiritual poverty, the spiritual poverty of sinful man in this world. That by nature, we were dead in our sins. That's why we needed someone to come. That we cannot save ourselves and is under God's wrath and in our sinful nature cannot please Him in any way. But how thankful could we be that God provided a perfect plan to save us from this spiritual poverty. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, 6 through 8, He said, Christ Jesus, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Our Savior came and was humiliated from the moment he set foot on this earth. All the hostility against him, all the unwillingness to accept him, the fact that he did not even have a place, as I said, to put down his head, something that we will read later on in the Gospels. The fact that so much injustice was done towards him that he had to endure. All the mocking of the scoffers, all the spitting, the crucifixion, everything he endured for you and me. He endured it all so that those who believe in him would become rich, spiritually rich. Paul writes it in this way to the Corinthians: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And if he has done all of this for us, how could we ever pity him? About his crucifixion, Matthew Henry said this, note, when with an eye of faith we behold Christ crucified, we ought to weep, but not for him, but for ourselves. The death of Christ was a thing peculiar. It was his victory and triumph over his enemies. It was our deliverance and the purchase of eternal life for us. And therefore let us weep, not for him, but for our sins. Not for him, but for the sins of our children that were the cause of his death. Let us weep for the fear of the miseries we shall bring upon ourselves if we slight his love, if we reject his grace, as the Jewish nation did. And let us not pity him, but worship him. Because remember how this passage ends. He is Christ the King, our Lord, who rules over us, who rules over the church, who rules over the world, and he will also rule in 2021. Amen. Let's go on to the candle lighting. Oh, we still have one to sing before that. Sorry. Yes. Let's sing Angels We Have. How can we miss that one? Angels We Have Heard on High.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Jesus, Lord of the Bible.
Jesus, Lord of thy word.
God's blessing and go from here in peace. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before His throne and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.